But do not ignore this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord, one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like one day. The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some think of slowness, but is patient with you, not wanting any to perish, but all to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a loud noise, and the elements will be dissolved with fire, and the earth and everything that is done on it will be disclosed. Since all these things are to be dissolved in this way, what sort of persons ought you to be in leading lives of holiness and godliness, waiting for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be set ablaze and dissolved, and the elements will melt with fire? But in accordance with his promise, we wait for new heavens and a new earth where righteousness is at home. Therefore, beloved, while you are waiting for these things, strive to be found by him at peace, without spot or blemish, and regard the patience of our Lord as salvation. Amen. And now from Mark's Gospel, chapter 1, verses 1 to 8. This is page 34 of the New Testament of your pew Bibles. Mark 1, verses 1 to 8. Hear the word of God. The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in the prophet Isaiah, "See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way. The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight.'" John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to meet him and were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." Amen. And may God bless to our understanding these readings from his word, and to his name be all glory and praise. Amen. Let us sing together hymn 128, "There's a Voice in the Wilderness Cry."
Thank you.
Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Mark's Gospel begins with no genealogy tracing Jesus back to David or Abraham. There's no elaborate description of Jesus' connection to David, such as we might find in Luke's Gospel, where we hear of Jesus being born in Bethlehem of Judea, the city of David. No, in Mark's Gospel, we have one sentence, the beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, or a title, perhaps. And it's followed by a variety of scripture references, and then a reference also to John the Baptist. This is the beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The passages of Scripture are derived in part from Isaiah, including the passage which was read to us earlier, Isaiah 40, verses 1 to 11, the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, "Prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight." In the first of those scripture quotations, there is allusion to the book of Malachi. All of this I will try to indicate why I'm mentioning it, but the first part, "See, I'm sending my messenger ahead of you," connects to the book of Malachi, but also the book of Exodus of the Old Testament. In fact, all the passages have to do with some sort of exodus or return from exile. Isaiah 40 begins the whole section of the book of Isaiah, which has to do with the promise of the return of the people from Babylon to Jerusalem. It's a message largely of hope to this people, and so it begins, "Comfort, comfort, my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem, that her iniquity is pardoned," and so on, "that she has received double for her sins." That is the way that section of Scripture begins, which speaks of the promise of the return of the people of Israel from Babylon to Jerusalem. The reference to Malachi, "I will send my messenger before you," and then there's a reference about the Lord coming. In fact, right at the end of the book of Malachi, there's a promise that the prophet Elijah will return before the great and terrible day of the Lord. The Exodus allusion has again to do with the coming of the people out of Egypt. And they are in the desert. They have transgressed the commandments of the Lord. They have built for themselves a golden calf and have worshipped that and said, "Hear, O Israel, here is your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, this golden calf." Moses intercedes on behalf of the people. He says to the Lord, "If you do not go with us, do not take us from this place." And the Lord replies, "See, I am sending my angel or messenger ahead of you." Well, John the Baptizer comes, and of course, all of that has to do with either a renewal of the people, a bringing back from exile of some sort, an exodus from some domain or other into something new. And what is that new thing? Apparently it has to do with repentance, a forgiveness of sins. All Judea, we are told, and the the Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to John the Baptist and were baptized by him as a way of preparing themselves for this new bringing together of God's people, this new exodus, this new bringing back from exile. There's quite a description in Mark's gospel, as there are in the other gospels, of John's wardrobe and also his diet. We're told that John was clothed with camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. And I imagine for people that day, as for today, though, that sort of dress, that sort of diet was strange, to say the least. It set John apart. It also reminded people of another prophet that they had known, namely Elijah. So here was this figure like Elijah coming to the people and announcing a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. But John the Baptist does more than baptize. He says to the people, I have baptized you with, well, first of all, he says, the one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. So in other words, he saw his activity of baptizing as being in need of completion by the one who was to come after him, the one who he wasn't even, could be a slave of. A slave would untie the thong of a person's sandals, but John the Baptist indicated he would not be worthy even to untie the thong of this great one's sandals. And furthermore, this one who is coming after him would baptize with the Holy Spirit and would therefore complete what John the Baptist had done in his own action. Of course, we know the identity of the one coming after John the Baptist, namely Jesus. Now, lately I've been reading, beginning to read works of a Christian philosopher or theologian. His name is likely being mentioned from this pulpit before. His name is Søren Kierkegaard, a Danish philosopher. He makes a comment about, well, he doesn't just make a comment, but he describes human beings as being spiritual beings. And he describes what all that means. And this he describes in a book that he entitles Sickness Unto Death, which is his way of describing human sinfulness. As he describes it, human beings are in a big rush to free themselves from themselves. We human beings are sick unto death, spiritually speaking. Physically, we may be fine, but in our relationship with God, something is wrong. As spiritual beings, we have something that needs to be corrected. Now, fortunately, in what John the Baptist was proposing and what followed in the coming of the one greater than he, namely Jesus, we have a solution to that problem. Of course, John the Baptist recognized the one coming after him was so much greater than he that he wouldn't even untie the thong of this person's sandals. Well, perhaps for us, in order to receive health, spiritual health, we need, like John the Baptist also, to recognize that there is one so much greater before us, whom our lives so desperately need in order to be right with God. He shall feed his flock. Also, like John the Baptist carried out a certain action of baptizing people for the baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. Well, like John the Baptist, we need our lives somehow to be so taken over by this one great, so much greater than ourselves, that our own actions become symbols of what the Lord Jesus Christ does and can do in human life, in human society. Of course, in the Gospels themselves, especially the Gospel of Mark, we see ample sign of what this spiritual healing does when Jesus encounters people. Certainly there is a leper cleansed. There are people whose spirits are renewed such that they are no longer dominated by evil spirits, as Mark's Gospel describes them. They are people who can see, can understand. They hear Jesus' words and gain greater awareness. They are awakened to this kingdom of God that he is proclaiming. And also in the latter part of the gospel, these disciples learn how their own lives may be parables, may be signs, symbols of the life of Christ which has come to them. They are to serve their neighbor. They are not to be governed by a competitive spirit, but rather follow in the pathway of one who is giving his life as a ransom for many. We could be just as well in the position of these people of the countryside of Judea and Jerusalem. We could be people who sense that we too need this baptism, which is from John the Baptist, a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. But we recognize in Jesus something more than simply signs. We realize that like John the Baptist, we need to, and like the Apostle Paul, who said, "The life I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who gave himself for me." We need to be in those people's position of recognizing the greatness of the one who has come and calling on that one to so rule our lives that we become his flock, his people, and our own lives, exhibiting signs of his life to the world. Signs of the spiritual health, the love of God that he wishes to share with all people.